So this is meditation 101. Just make sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be. I think they're supposed to be. So, we're going to start off with doing a little bit of meditation. So for those of you that are new, all we're going to have you do is just kind of sit comfortably, and we're going to close our eyes. We can leave them open a little bit if you want to, and then we're going to just kind of follow our breathing and watch our breath as it goes in and out. And then when your mind drifts off, which it will, you gently pull it back to your breath again and just try to stay focused. And the objective is to try to stay as focused as possible on your breathing, okay? And those of you that were here last week, if you want to do, while we do the meditation, if you want to do mind like the ocean or like the sky or something like that, feel free to go ahead and do that too, okay? So if you get comfortable, if you're on the cushion, seat firmly on the cushion, it helps to kind of sit up a little bit. I didn't mention this before, with your legs a little lower than your hips, and it kind of pulls your spine straight a little bit. But if you're on a chair, just sit with your feet flat on the floor. Try not to lean against the back of the chair, but you want to try to sit with your back as straight as possible. Your hands are comfortable in your lap, or the traditional pose would be your left hand supporting your right hand and your thumbs touching. But whatever is comfortable is fine. Like I said, your back straight. Think of it like a stack of coins. Envision a string at the top of the crown of your head, kind of pulling your head up and allowing your jaw to fall forward a little bit. And then your eyes either closed, or you can leave them open a little bit, especially if you have a tendency to kind of doze off. And then your tongue should be resting at the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth. And we'll start out just taking a few big breaths in and out. We'll set a little bit of intention to remind yourselves why you came tonight, or even the fact that you did come tonight. There were so many other things that you could have done, and you chose to do this. That's an amazing thing in and of itself. You chose to learn a little bit more about your mind. Most of the population of the world has chosen not to do that. So a few big breaths in and out, and then just begin to focus on your breathing, and I'll ring the bell when we're done. So for those of you that have been coming for a couple of weeks, have you had opportunity to practice? I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but how is that going? Anybody got anything they want to share? Yes, sir. You got to wait for a microphone. Chris is the runner tonight.
I find it harder. The best time I had, what I thought was really good, was the first day I left here.
Uh-huh.
So I did it for 5 minutes for a week, and then I 6 minutes, and tomorrow I'll start with seven. But I feel like self-sabotage, like my mind is purposely messing with me, you know.
Like, how's it messing with you?
By throwing random thoughts in there.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's just looking for something to bother me. I get, you know, but I'm struggling with it, and I'll work past that.
Is it gotten to the point, do you stop on a high note? Do you still feel good about it?
No, I do, yeah. Okay. I believe when the buzz, because I set a timer.
Okay.
And when it, I am jostled a little bit when it goes off too much. So, it ends well.
Yeah, you know, they got little timers that make these kind of noises, too, for your phone. You can get a little app.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. You know, you don't want to push yourself to the point of being uncomfortable, because you want to develop a sense of attraction for the meditation and not revulsion, you know. So, but other stuff will come up, and it's good to just observe that. You know, that's the whole point, because that stuff comes up all the time anyway. You're just now more aware of it, right? You just don't realize that stuff's kind of bombarding you all the time anyway. You know, when you get up and walk around, you just deal with it. But when you're sitting there, it plays tricks with you. Good. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Yes, ma'am. Chris has his Fitbit tonight.
I've been practicing both focusing on breath and mind like a sky meditation, and I think the mind like a sky is easier for me. And when I'm trying to focus on my breath and I try to count my breath, then I will like have all kinds of emotions related just to counting the breath. I will feel like proud of myself if I get a little bit high on count, and I feel anxious when I can do well, or I'm fighting against my thoughts to like focus on my breath. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good though, right? I mean, those are things that like he said, those are things that you encounter. Pride, anxiety, fear. I mean, these are all emotions that we have all the time. So when you can recognize, oh, there's pride coming up, you know, that's huge. That's really a big deal. So that's a good thing. But you know, when you have your mind like a sky, it does tend to just kind of be a little bit more, it's not as focused, right? So when you're trying to hold your concentration, you notice all that distraction maybe a little bit more than if you just kind of let your mind expand. That's a little bit more relaxing, I think. That's just my sense, but good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. It does?
It does. So I don't know if that's I'm loud enough.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're being recorded, so
we can
guess it.
Okay.
So the question was, do you recommend music? Well, yeah. Probably not. But you know, what kind of music are you listening to?
a meditation soundtrack.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
That's probably fine. I don't think there's any harm in that. You know, at some point, as you go deeper and deeper, you try to cut out all extraneous kind of things that are happening,
right.
You know.
Right.
You accept what's kind of going on, like the guy next door with the leaf blower and our train that goes by. But, you know, those are just, they're just auditory things that are coming into your brain, and you know the idea is just to kind of not get caught up in that. So, but I think probably it's fine to go ahead and listen. If it helps you, it helps you be able to kind of stay focused a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, the point isn't to, relaxation is like a secondary benefit. That's not the goal. And we'll actually talk a little bit about the two obstacles that you'll confront from now to the rest of your life is, drowsiness and excitation. So those are kind of the two little guys that sit on your shoulder that always are battling. But the idea is not to relax so much, but just to stay concentrated. But I think it's fine. Were you going to say something about that? Oh, you do.
Okay.
To wait for a microphone. Thank you.
So I found, because for those of you who like technology, there's an app called Insight Timer, which
uh-huh.
is free, and you can, like, it's easier for me if I have guided meditation, because
okay.
it just seems to, like, calm down my mind and keep me more focused on not
sure.
focusing on something else.
Right.
But it also has, you know, there's stuff where you can meditate to, like, a mantra.
They have yeah. that on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And other things, or, like, if there's something specific you want to focus on, like, if you're having trouble sleeping, there's sleep or health, or if you're having, you know, just internal restlessness. So there's some different categories you can go to, or you can just put a timer on for, like, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And at the end it goes, bing.
Yeah, and like you get that. Choice of different bells, too, right?
So it does. Yeah, so it's kind of nice because I think sometimes there was a gal who's not in here, but she brought it up in, like, a discussion one day, and she has a lot of, like, issues when she first gets to work because she's been driving, and she's
uh-huh.
kind of, and she sets, like, she does a meditation immediately before she starts her work, and I thought, well, what a great idea.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
You know, like 15
yeah.
minutes of meditation just to kind of, like, bring herself to the present moment and then move on with her day. So,
right.
But anyway, so I've been, you know, doing a little bit better, but that's kind of nice because I can also kind of change it up if you like something, music or just sound, because actually
right,
there's,
right.
you know, there's some of that in there too.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
kind of a little bit of everything.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, music, you know, something like that, I think is fine, the sound or whatever. Whatever can help you stay focused. So, you had a question back here. I'm sorry, Hedy.
Oh, I was just going to say I use Insight Timer, too, and I use it a lot. And you can do everything. The guided ones are anywhere from a minute to 2 hours.
They never used to have the guided ones.
It's thousands and thousands of them. So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I use it a lot.
Insight Timer.
Insight,
okay. There was an Insight Timer some years ago that was just different bells. So, yeah, might be connected. Yes, sir.
So I've actually found that if my mind is really uncooperative, and even if it shortens my meditation session, later that day, if I had a lot of challenges meditating and a lot of practice bringing my concentration back, if something else comes up later in that day, it's actually easier for me to deal with that. I feel like if I warmed up my mind with something very easy and calming, that if I had an angry episode or anxiety later in that day, I have to get somewhere that is just as calm in order for me to recenter myself. But if I kind of warmed myself up that day by bringing a really unruly mind back into focus, it's much easier when things are more chaotic to do the same thing.
So if I'm hearing you right, the practice helps when you encounter difficulties later on in the day?
So if I'm having a lot of difficulty in the meditation session,
uh-huh.
it is much easier for me when I have difficulty later in the day. Because I've already got a little bit of practice of actually bringing my mind back in
okay.
focus
okay.
instead of a very easy meditation session where while I can meditate for a longer period of time when it's easy, I find it's much harder for me to just observe my emotions later in the day.
Okay, good. That's good. Yeah, this isn't supposed to be easy. And it's not. It's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever learn to do, you know, because it takes a lot of work, and there's everything working against it, you know, everything out there working against it. So it's very challenging. Somebody said most of the world's problems would go away if a person developed the ability to be alone with themselves for any length of time, which is basically the same thing, right? Yeah. So there's work involved. There's definitely work involved. And I think we've got this impression that, you know, we see these bucolic pictures of people sitting on the beach with their arms sticking out, meditating in the waves. And we think it's supposed to be something just really relaxing, but it's a challenge. It can be a little challenge. So. Anybody else have anything they want to share during the last couple of weeks? Thank you all. So, you know, we kind of lump the meditation into two main categories. So there's like concentration or focus meditation, which would be a lot of what we've done up to this point. I don't think we've done much in the way of analytical meditation yet. So we're going to do a few of those tonight. So, yeah, the idea is that you practice developing your mental processes where you have the ability to concentrate on something for as long as you want to be able to concentrate on it without being distracted by the things. And we think we can do that, but we really aren't. I mean, we think we do that all the time, but we really don't. Our minds get pulled away all the time. So you really, it's a great skill to have in a lot of ways. And then the analytical meditation is once we've developed the ability to concentrate or focus, then we find something that we focus on. Something usually has to do with reality. And this is where it kind of gets, you know, a lot of the Buddhism kind of comes in, because the thought with Buddhism is that we don't see things the way they really are. We often live under this illusion that we create, and we live our lives according to that illusion. So that said, I'm going to go ahead. We'll do a meditation here, a analytical meditation on change, and this is a guided meditation. So I'm going to talk throughout the process. So I want you to sit comfortably like you would, and we usually start analytical meditations with just relaxing or calming our minds, focus on our breathing, and try to just develop that focus if we can, and then we'll go through and do the analysis part of it. So sit comfortably, back straight, hands comfortable, top of your head up, chin down, eyes closed, and your tongue at the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth. And yeah, feel free if you want to go back and forth between cushions and chairs, that's fine too. And take a few breaths in and out, and just let go of all your other thoughts and try to develop your focus for a second. So we're going to think about change. And how everything changes moment by moment. Ask yourself, is there anything that is not changing? Think about your body as you breathe. The oxygen enters your lungs as you inhale. It's picked up by blood cells and carried throughout your body. and other gases and waste are transported to your lungs and expelled as you exhale. So with every breath in and every breath out, your body changes. Throughout the entire day, your body takes in new materials and expels old materials. The components of the food that you ate became part of your body, and old materials are excreted. Your blood cells die every 120 days, and new ones are constantly being produced. About every 4 weeks, your skin cells die and fall off as new ones are being created from the products that you eat, drink, and breathe in. ...30,000 skin cells die every minute. Each of those cells that quietly dies can be traced through an unbroken chain of cell division backward in time through an almost unimaginable 4 billion years the emergence of the earliest form of life on this planet. Literally, you're not the same physical body you were a year ago. Nor are you the same physical body you'll be a year from now. It will be completely changed. In your mind, scan the room around you. Think of any object. Is that object changing? The clothes you wear, the furniture, even this building you're in is changing. What did those objects look like a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? And what will they look like in a year, 5 years from now, 20 years from now? You stop and realize that every other human in this room will be gone in 100 years. And then reflect on the nature of that change. Spend some time recognizing that everything is changing, so anything is possible. All right. Were you all able to kind of follow along with that and keep those thoughts in your head? At the end when I said, everything is changing, anything is possible, what kind of sensation did that bring? Or did it bring any feeling at all, or any thoughts that arose with that? Maybe the whole meditation, anything that came up? Do we see ourselves that way? Yes, sir.
So the part talking about the unbroken chain of cell division back 4 billion years, never really thought of it that way, but if that chain had been broken, then we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty profound thought. And then at the very end, anything is possible, gave a real deep sense of accountability for my own action.
Okay.
That with possibility, I must choose. And whatever choice I make, whatever possibilities I bring into being, though, that's on me.
Right.
Nobody else did that for me. And so I need to think and be mindful about what decisions I make and kind of what reality I want to manifest.
Okay. Excellent. Did anybody else have that kind of thought kind of cross their head?
I just found the last two statements of everything's changing, anything's possible is very, put a smile on my face.
Okay, good. Yeah, it kind of opens up everything, doesn't it? It's like, all right, I'm not stuck here. And it's not, we see ourselves as kind of permanent, things as permanent around us, right? I mean, there's good and there's bad with that, but, you know, it does create any kind of possibilities. So, anybody else? Yes, sir.
I found the thought that you said about how skin cells slough off at like thousands and thousands per day and all of that to kind of, it evoked an image in my head, where it's interesting to think about yourself in almost as though your inside and your outside is just separated by an escalator of skin.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, there's really no separation between the inside and the outside. And then there's also infinity inside of you and outside of you. And I think you put it better than I could, but that was really wonderful. Yeah.
And if I think about the breathing thing, right, where I mean, what I'm exhaling, other people are sucking in. We're just one big biome here, you know. Pretty much. I mean, we're all so interdependent and interconnected. Sometimes that makes people a little bit squirmish, but we're really a lot closer than most people think. Are we going to say something, Sam? I'm sorry. Yeah. She was. Okay.
So I feel like it's easy for me to grasp the concept of life because it has not necessarily a beginning. Our bodies have a beginning and end, but when you said certain things like inanimate objects are changing, because actually when you were saying like think of everything it's changing, I was like, yeah, but I don't know if those curtains are changing.
They are.
But they are, exactly. And then you made the comment, like, think about it in 5 years and 10 years. And I was like, what about in 100 years? What about in 1,000 years? Like, they're going to disintegrate into nothing. And rocks disintegrate into nothing. And, oh, my God, everything's changing.
Everything is moving.
Yeah. So, and then at the end, it kind of like in that same train of thought, it's just like forwards and backwards. Like, there's just infinity always changing.
So. Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, it kind of opens up. If you do a meditation like this, or any of these analytical ones, it creates a sense of awe. I don't know what the right term is. You know, something there at the end that feels good, but then it kind of drifts away, right? And then you know, after a few discussions, we're kind of back to, oh yeah, but this is how we normally live. Does that make sense? We kind of go back to our old way of thinking. So by practicing the concentration meditations, you can develop that sense of awe and wonder, and I'm responsible for my own actions and everything is changing. And then the idea is to hold that sensation as long as you possibly can, you know, to be able to sit with that thought and hang on to it. Because it, again, it just kind of goes back. At least that's my experience. It just kind of goes away, and then we're back to living in what we think is reality, when actually that change is reality, you know. And but we don't live our lives that way. Does that make any sense? I don't want to get too profound here. But the idea of the concentration part is to hang on to that as long as possible, to be able to sit with it. So that's why we want to be able to develop both of those types of meditation, to be able to sit with that. And people that can do that, my understanding, you know, life becomes very blissful, right? If you can hold on to that all the time, you know, things are good. But we don't. We get sucked back into, you know, our storylines and our things in our head, all of the stuff that we kind of make up. So, so those are the kind of the two main categories. And like I said, the things that we tend to kind of struggle with during our practices will be, you know, drowsiness. Some people have a hard time with that. And then a mind that's too, they call agitated. So it's too, we got too many thoughts going on. So we try to walk this fine line between those and notice when we're getting drowsy and do things to kind of wake ourselves up a little bit, or notice when we've got too excited of a mind and kind of bring that back down home a little bit. So some of the things that they would do, would recommend, would be like, if you have drowsiness, you know, check your posture, you know, don't allow yourself to slump over. Time of day makes a big difference sometimes for folks, you know. You find a point during the day when your mind is alert, you know, like first thing in the morning works for me because I'm awake, but I'm not all distracted by everything that's gone on for the day already. So that, you know, but everybody's got their own time that works out best. You know, think about, you know, sleep or keeping your eyes open a little bit when you meditate. If you have trouble with drowsiness, sometimes that helps too. If you're distracted, you know, think about something. We won't do any meditations on death, but that's something that usually can get you back down. The 9-round breathing that we did last time is a good way to kind of bring your attention back to your meditation if you find that your mind is pretty distracted. Or a body scan, something like that, is another good way to kind of bring your mind back down to focus on things a little bit. So, anybody have any other comments or questions or things they want to share? So we're going to break up in little groups, and we're going to talk about how our practice is going and some of the troubles that you're having with it or some of the benefits that you're having from it. Hey, it's here in the syllabus. I just followed the instructions. I didn't write the book. So, you know, if you want to break up in little groups of 3 or 4 or something like that, that'd be fine. I thought I did this meditation last week, but people say they didn't. So if I do, if it sounds familiar, we'll just have to suffer through it again, I suppose. Actually, I had a couple more I was going to try to see if I can get out before we end the night. How did you like the analytical aspects? You know, and you can find, there's lots of material. There's probably analytical meditations on that. Yeah. Insight timer. There are, I mean, even if you're not of Buddhist, I mean, if you're of Christian faith or whatever it is, Muslim you know, there's books that you can read that you can do a focus, you can do an analytical meditation on. Anything that's inspirational can become an analytical meditation. It's a train. So I might do this other one here real quick, as long as we're talking about analytic meditations. So we'll do one more, and then we'll talk about negative states of mind. Can you all see this? Bottle of water? All right. I'll set it. Set it there. You probably won't be able to see it, but keep it in your mind. So we're gonna sit comfortably. You all know the position. Assume the position. It's a long train tonight. We'll take a few breaths in and out. Once you get comfortable, settle your mind. Now picture that water, that dirty water. Now imagine you live in another country, maybe somewhere in Africa, in a small village. And you get up in the morning. Maybe you're a child or a female. You get up in the morning and you get buckets and jugs and you start to hike. And you're going to walk to the well to get water. And it's a good distance. It may take an hour or two to get there. And it starts to get hot as you walk along. And you get to this hole, kind of a muddy looking hole that has water that your village, you call it the well. And people climb down in. There's animals around it. It's obviously murky and muddy. The water's warm. There's insects. You scoop it up, put it in your jug or your buckets. Then you start the long walk back to the village, carrying this weight of the water. And it gets hotter as you walk. And the water that you carry, that's your water for the day. For drinking, for cooking, for washing. That's it. And you're quite happy with that water. At least you have water. And you have to do that every day, regardless of the weather or the conditions. As a result, maybe as a child, you don't have an opportunity for school. That's just what you do, is get water. Now think what it's like to live in this country. There's a box on the wall. If we want water, we push a button and cold water, pure water comes out. We turn a spigot. We take long hot showers. We flush our toilets with water that's cleaner than what most people drink in the world. In fact, many of us won't drink the water that comes out of the tap. We buy bottled water. Just spend a moment and think about how fortunate we are. Maybe develop a feeling of gratitude and contentment. Any thoughts on that meditation? Yes, there's a lady back there. That...
I really have to say that I enjoyed that meditation a lot. I actually lived 3 months in the bush in Mozambique. And I got to see firsthand exactly what you were talking about. And so I went there in 2004, so it's been a long time. And I can't help but recall or just those feelings, but just how far removed I am from it now, all these many years later. And kind of what you were saying about holding on to that feeling and carrying it with you. How difficult that is, you know. Obviously, when I first came back, I was a different person. I thought differently. But it didn't take long to get right back into the swing of things. And just that whole idea of that, you know, everything's changing and how much I've changed. And I just really enjoyed that and like the whole idea of trying to hold on to that gratitude, that thankfulness.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what it's like to live in that, other than what I've imagined and what I've read, you know. So thanks for sharing that.
Hello. Yes, I was just going to say I think it was a great meditation for, for developing perspective, because while I do, you know, I have heard about, you know, in other countries you have to go get water every day and everything, but I had never pictured it like that to the extent to where I would reflect on and feel gratitude, you know, for my own circumstances, because that's something that I take for granted. The fact that there's clean water to use a bathroom and you can flush a toilet, you have water out of the sink, you can drink the water out of the sink, and how much, you know, it took 3 or 4 hours of the day just to get water that was not even clean.
You know?
Right. And so it's remarkable to think about. Then it made me even think about further, like, you know, it could be different. I could be in prison right now. I could be doing like a long prison sentence right now, and my life would not be nearly as good as it is right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then I started to think about, I don't know if it was on a TV show or was it a temple I was going to, but I mean about like there's some happiness scale of measuring the happiness of different people. And it was some, they were comparing, you know, America and Americans to a country, it was like a third world, very poor country, maybe in India or something like that. I'm not sure, but, although the people in a third world country were very poor, living in what could hardly even be considered houses, the happiness, the average level of happiness was the same as Americans.
Yeah.
And,
probably higher.
Right. And it was like, and it was based on the fact that these people had such a sense of community and feeling of responsibility for helping one another and a connection with one another.
Yeah.
And if you think about it in America, and I can't say for all Americans, of course not, but, you know, it's more like, you know, we kind of base our happiness based on emotional security and not emotional security, I meant to say material.
Fun, yeah.
Material, you know, material security, material yeah. possessions, what, how much we have, stressing out about doing this and that, and we care less about connecting with other people.
Yeah.
So I just started to think about all that stuff. So it was very good to put all that in perspective.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it part of the illusion, I think, is that we think that we don't realize, we don't take in the gratitude. We don't realize what we have in this country, or even in this part of the country, even, you know. There's areas of the country where it's not such. You know, I think within like a 5-mile radius of my house, I don't know how many grocery stores we have. And, you know, I heard one of the Tibetans, or might have been Geshe-la, said that, you know, we have more food in our pet food aisle than most grocery stores have in other countries in their total store. So, you know, we tend to compare ourselves. We tend to compare upward. We tend to look at what, you know, oh, my neighbor's got the new Lexus. I'm going to need to get the new, you know, we try to compare ourselves in that direction and move that direction. But we don't take time out to think of how fortunate we are for what we currently have. If we compared ourselves to what 90% of the rest of the population on the globe had, we could develop quite a sense of contentment, you know, for what we do have. It's just a matter of perspective and the stories that we tell ourselves that kind of go along with that. So there was something else I was going to say, but like everything else, it just kind of fell out of the back of my head. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir.
For me, the first thing, especially right when you said, you know, it's a very long walk, it could take 1 to 2 hours to get there, is not just a sense of gratitude that we have time to practice, but the importance of dedication.
Yeah.
That your practice can be to the benefit of people who may be in situations that can't. And not only just, you know, being somewhere where you have enough free time to practice, but that you live in a lifetime where there is knowledge that you can practice.
Right.
You know, maybe if I was born 100 years ago, even in the same country with all the benefits, the Dharma probably would not be around here for me to know about.
Right.
So it's just the time and place and having a life where these types of things can be known is just, that's profound to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's in that Kathleen McDonald's book, on how to meditate. She looks at, there's a section of the Lam Rim, which is one of the major books here, that talks about precious human rebirth and, you know, how fortunate you are in the life of leisure, which what they would say that we have a life of leisure. We don't spend every waking moment trying to find food and water and shelter. You know, we have the opportunity to do other things like practice. We have things that are available that again, at another time might not have been available, certainly in another country. And then she even goes through, you know, what if we were born as an animal, you know, and some of the other circumstances that could have. And even if you don't believe that was a possibility, just looking at how other people live on the planet and see how fortunate we are and have the opportunities. I think about, you know, 100 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, we couldn't stream any of this stuff, you know. So people that even, if they couldn't get out of your house, you couldn't go to a teaching, or, you know, if there wasn't a way to watch it on television. But now you can stream it, pull it up on YouTube, watch it over and over again, listen to the podcast. You know, there's all sorts of opportunities to be exposed to this that we have that we don't take advantage of, I think, sometimes. So just reflecting on what you have, you know, spend some time focusing on gratitude. Just, you know, do a meditation in the morning and think about, you know, the electricity that in countries where, you know, they have these, you know, you're lucky if you have electricity on for a half hour a day or whatever. You know, just the things that we have that's so readily available that we just don't fully appreciate. And think about how we compare to folks in other areas of the world. And you can develop that sense of gratitude. And again, like the other meditations, the idea is to build that deep sense of gratitude and then lock in on that for as long as you can. Because that's where our real happiness comes. It's not from material things. You know, I thought there was another story, it's research done, right? They had a guy that was a quadriplegic and then a guy who won the bazillion dollars in the lottery, right? And the question was, which of the two are happier? And actually a year from that date, the quadriplegic was much happier with his life than the person who had won the lottery, which is just so counter to everything that we're trained to believe, you know. But it's not in the material things that we have. It's in the things like gratitude, generosity, kindness. It's those things that, you know, your grandmother taught, right, that really have some value to them. And those are things that we can meditate on. Those should be the fodder for the meditations that you do. Those little words of wisdom and those little things that, you know that touch your heart, that you can get that sensation and then hang on to that as long as possible. That's our goal. And if you can hang on to that all day, boy, you're in a great place, right? But it's all there available for you. It doesn't cost anything. It's just everybody has that ability. They just dig around in their mind and realize that it's in there. So, all right, I've kind of yambled on a little bit. Anybody else got anything else? We've been gone for a long time, but we have a time limit, 8:30. I didn't do the meditation on transforming negative experiences last week, so I apologize. I thought for sure. Yeah, so this is one of the other handouts, transforming negative experiences into positive experiences. And we will do that one now. You know, somebody brought up the point that when they do meditation, certain negative things may arise in our head. And there are some, like, antidotes that you can do. Probably the biggest few that come up would be like anger, pride, and in Buddhism they call it attachment, which attachment is our exaggerating the goodness of something, you know, that we think it's mine, right? It's something that we're attached to. And so a lot of Buddhism, the point of the teaching is to try to let go of your attachment you can enjoy things, just don't get attached to things, you know? Because in our impermanence meditation or the change meditation, you know, you realize everything goes away, you know? And if you can meditate on that, then you can loosen your attachment to things where you're not quite as attached. So if during your meditation you find that anger begins to arise, you can reroute your thinking and focus on something like someone or something, someone that you love and some level of compassion, and see if that doesn't help kind of take some of the power out of the anger and lets it kind of dissipate, right? If your mind is caught up in attachment for something, you know, try to focus on how it's going to be impermanent. Or maybe something that you're not attached to, something like ugly or something unattractive, you know, and that'll help kind of loosen the grip on that kind of thinking. And then it says with pride, you know, if you see pride arise, focusing again on impermanence or death, and the Buddhists do meditations on death, and it goes along with that impermanence thinking, you know, everyone in here is going to be gone in 100 years. You know, if you look at the obituaries on a regular basis, you realize that there's people that morning that didn't realize that they were going to be. I was an ER nurse for years, so I always was coming across people that had no idea that morning when they got up that they were going to be in this predicament right now, you know. So that was kind of always in my face. But you realize that things like that happen. And that's a way to kind of lessen your if you're feeling proud or have a sense of pride, that can kind of help lessen that emotion a little bit too. So in the transforming negative experiences, and again, this is one of the handouts. We'll go through and do this. So I want you to get comfortable. We'll sit for just a second. Again, another analytical meditation. A few breaths in and out, and let everything else kind of go. And then spend a few moments thinking about your day and maybe the experiences that you had during the day, and focus on a difficult situation that may have arisen. Maybe even over the last week, if you can think of something. A situation in which you may have become impatient, may have lost your temper. You may have seen other people as problems or enemies, and maybe even lashed out to them verbally. Remember that situation is over, and that right now you're just experiencing the memory of something that's gone and is now in the past, and you're just trying to replay the movie, so to speak. Remember what happened from beginning to end. And then watch and observe your mind and your behavior as you replay the situation. You're going to use the techniques that we've learned so far to disidentify with the feelings and actions as much as possible. So you're just observing. Think about the disadvantages and harmful nature of your negative response that may have taken place during that situation. Think about how you felt while being impatient or angry. Does it make you feel happy? Did it make you feel comfortable and at peace? When the angry feeling led to angry words and maybe actions, what effect did they have on you? And then what effect did it have on other people around you? Did it make them happy? Did it make the situation easier? Did anger and the angry behavior help bring the situation to a positive outcome and solution? Was it helpful and beneficial for everyone, yourself and others included, to feel good and understand each other better? Now think about how you might have handled the situation differently. With a calm, balanced, open attitude, without anger or impatience or resentment. Think about how your and others' experience of the situation might have been completely different. And then generate that feeling of how extraordinary it would have been able to handle, to be able to manage those difficult situations, just like this one. With a calm, peaceful mind, uncontrolled by anger and agitation. Now replay the entire situation in your mind from beginning to end and imagine it completely different. Relive the situation and imagine yourself reacting perfectly with warmth, openness towards the other people and with a calm, balanced mind without anger or agitation. It would have played out in a totally different way. Is the outcome different? How do you feel about yourself at the end of the interchange? Pleased or disappointed? What kind of experience do others have in your replay? Is it positive or negative? Now make a strong determination that the next time you encounter difficulties, that you'll try patience. Take a breath, you'll step back, try to respond with openness and patience as you did in the meditation. Keeping your mind under control and out of the control of anger. Try to make a strong determination that each time you find yourself responding with impatience, agitation, and anger, you'll practice the same meditation in order to gradually overcome the negative response patterns and train your mind to respond with kindness, balance, and patience. All right. Were you able to come up with a scenario? Just one? A bunch? Yeah. If you reframe and preframe, we didn't talk about that last. We talked about preframing and reframing. Boy. I am slacking. So this is reframing, right? Looking back over a situation and looking how it happened, yet don't identify with it, right? You're just like, picture the camera out there, right? Zooming, you know, watching the show. You're just observing the interactions. And then go through how you would have played it differently. You know, the thing with anger is, if you respond with anger and the other person responds, then you create this dance that just, it gets spiraled out of control. But if one person decides they're not going to dance, it disrupts the whole pattern, you know. And the other person ends up feeling foolish a lot of times if they escalate things and you don't respond. But, you know, if you can preframe then when you're going to encounter the situation again and decide ahead of time how you're going to act, the more you do that, the more likely you're going to act that way. There's a story, real quick, right? The man walking down the road falls into a hole. You might have heard this before, right? Second day, he's walking down the road, and just before he falls in the hole, he realizes it's there, and he falls into it, right? The third day, he walks down, and just before he gets to the hole, he goes around it. And the fourth day, he takes a whole different road, right? So, you know, it takes us a while to overcome those things, but eventually we'll retrain our minds and be able to react differently. You know, that's part of the whole goal of this. So. Any final thoughts? Pretty good. Those handouts are available. For those of you that is your first time, if you go on the website, all of the handouts that we've had up to this point are all there. They talk about, you know, how to sit, the 9-round breathing, the different meditations that we've done. And, you know, read through them like this one. You read through it, and you may have to read through it and do the meditation second time, maybe read. And then at some point, you won't have to read it anymore. You'll just be able to do the meditation. So, all right. Everybody have safe travels home, and maybe we'll see you next week. You're welcome.